I think props is due to Brother Marion, though. I mean, if he didn't know the song, you wouldn't have known that he was singing it off. I was trying to figure out what song he was singing it to, because he had a different, totally different song tune in his head. But it sounded good, right? I can't read lips, honey, so.
Come on, brother. Dig me. That's all right. I love you, brother.
So, I mean, hey. We all were sitting there going, wrong. Just because we knew it, that's not the correct one. But I think if we didn't know what it was, we'd be like, he just kept going. That song, though, you folks know the story behind this song?
That's right. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way.
Yes, sir.
When sorrows like sea billows roll.
Oh, yes, brother.
H.G. Spafford wrote this. He just lost his two daughters. They drowned in the ocean.
Yep.
And captain brought them to a... He was coming across, back across, and they said, I think this is the spot where your girls died. He went down into that ship and wrote that song.
Yep.
When sorrow like sea billows roll.
Yeah,
that's some sorrow. You just lost your kids.
Yeah.
Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Those are some powerful words, especially if you know the story behind what he's writing about.
Right. Amen.
It can be well with our soul, too.
Amen.
You got Christ living within you. Look, as a Christian, it should always be well with our soul. I'm not saying sorrows aren't going to come. I mean, sorrows like sea billows roll.
Yes, sir.
Sea billows, you know, big storms coming in. But it can be well with our soul because we know God's in control.
Amen.
You know, he could have prevented that.
Sure.
But we wouldn't have that song today.
That's right. Amen, brother.
I mean, I know that song has touched many people,
Amen.
Many hearts, and it's a blessing. But he had to pay a price to give us that song. I don't wish that upon anybody, but God saw something further on. When you're going to pay this price right now. And he's able to go, right, it is well with my soul. Amazing. Amazing. Take your Bibles, go to Jonah. Go to the book of Jonah. Ever mess up or make a mistake? And wish you could do it over again? Wish you got a second chance? You know, you ever take a test and you just totally bombed it. And you're like, man, I'd like to do that one again if I could.
Right.
You know, sometimes the professor's nice and, you know, the whole class did bad and they either grade on a curve and then, okay, I'm going to give everybody some extra points. Or they, all right, we're going to redo this test. Yeah. You make a mistake at work and you're like, can I redo that bus? You ever say something and you wish you could take it back? Can I get a second chance on that question, on what I just said? Yeah. You ever say something to your spouse and the look on their face and you're like, oh, that is not what I wanted to say. I thought I wanted to say that about 5 seconds ago, but now I'm realizing I didn't want to say that. And can I get a second chance? Yeah. We're going to talk about second chances today because we serve a second chance God. We serve a second chance God. Let's go to God in a word of prayer real quick this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you that we can meet here together, God. We ask you'd meet with us, Lord, and be with us. Give me the wisdom as I preach this morning to be a help to these folks. Lord, get Jason Dunbar moved off to the side so that you can be glorified, you can be honored, and your word can be lifted up. Lord, help them to see something from your word and be encouraged or helped in this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Story of Jonah. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't. We're gonna just get a brief synopsis of it, all right? God told Jonah, he said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach to them and tell them that it's going to be destroyed. And Jonah said, Okay, God. And he went the opposite direction. He said, I'm going to get on a boat and I'm going to get as far away from Nineveh as possible. All right, well, roughly from his location, okay, roughly, Nineveh is east and he went west. I mean, he just, the complete opposite. Well, God sees him on that ship and God still wanted him to go to Nineveh. But God decides to send a little storm his way. Storm's brewing, it gets real bad. And it's funny, if you read in the first chapter, you find out that Jonah told the people on the boat, I'm sure they all were asking, hey, what are you doing on this ship? You know, because they're all doing different things. So what are you doing? I'm running from God. He was honest. At least he was an honest prophet here. I mean, he straight up told them. He didn't lie to them. I'm running from God. Because they all knew about it. Well, this storm comes up, and they're throwing goods off the ship to try to lighten it so they don't drown, and God just makes the storm worse. So then they decide, well, let's draw lots. Let's figure out, well, who is causing this storm? Because it must be somebody on this ship. They get lots, and they all draw straws, and Jonah gets the short end one, and, well, he's the problem. Well, what did you do? They all knew he ran from God. He told him, I should have gone and done what I needed to do. My God is judging us because I didn't go do what I should do. And he tells him, he says, you guys need to throw me off the ship, and that'll save you. Well, they thought, man, we don't want his blood on our hands. We're not going to do that. So they start crying out to God, and they throw some more stuff off. Well, nothing happens. And Jonah says, look, you need to throw me off the ship. So they pray, and they're like, Lord, don't put his blood on our hands. And boom, throw him off the ship. I don't know how quickly it was, but I think it was fast. I don't know if it was as soon as he got thrown off, if he hit the water or what, but the storm just ceased. And they're all, I mean, they're rejoicing on the boat right away. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for stopping the storm. And I don't know what their thoughts of Jonah were after that, but all of a sudden a big old fish comes up and, oh, he's gone. Swallow him whole. Jonah spends 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. You ever wonder why he spent 3 days and three nights? I don't think he repented. Chapter 2 is his prayer out, crying out to God to save him. I think he did that on day 3. I think he was mad. He did not want to go to Nineveh. And I just think he thought, okay, I'm just going to die in this fish's belly. And God went, okay, have a good time. Spent 3 days and three nights. Finally, he got his heart right, cried out to God, and God said, okay. Gave that fish a little indigestion and threw him up. Then God comes back to Jonah and says, Jonah, go to Nineveh, preach for me. Jonah goes, finally gets to Nineveh. Says Nineveh was a 3-day journey. That's a big city. So he goes in, preaches for 3 days, leaves the city. All of the city repent. The king hears about this crazy prophet running around saying that destruction is coming to his city. And he says, all right, everybody, we're going to put on sackcloth and ashes. Not just the people, but even the animals were put on sackcloth and ashes. And no one's going to eat or drink for 3 days. That's crazy. Even the animals. And they repent. And God hears it, forgives them, doesn't send the judgment. And if you know the story, the end of the story is Jonah goes out of the city, and he doesn't go back home. He gets up on a hill, and he's waiting to watch God fry Nineveh. Because, hey, God said he was going to fry him, so, okay. Get him, Lord. And then gets mad when God doesn't do it. Jonah is the first tree hugger. God brings a gourd up to cover him so that he can get some cool, you know, get some shade. And then God sends a worm, and it eats the gourd. And Jonah gets mad that the gourd died. And he gets mad at God for killing the gourd. And he's more mad at God killing the gourd than he is about He gets more upset about the gourd dying than the people and their lives being spared. And he's just,
I'd rather just die because you killed my gourd. Wow.
But our God's a second chance God. He's a second chance God. First, he gave Jonah a second chance. Look in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. Then go to chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Compare the verses. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. He pretty much tells them the same thing. Now, he doesn't tell them that last part because he said, Look, I already told you what to do. Go preach it. But he gave Jonah a second chance. Today, go do what I told you to do. I told you to preach at that city. You didn't do it this first time. You're getting a second chance. Go get it done. Nineveh, they got a second chance to do right. Now, Nineveh's a wicked city. I've heard some things about Nineveh, all right? When they come in and they would conquer a people, they would conquer a people. If a lady was pregnant, it's not uncommon where they would tie her to a horse, drag her around the city. They would take people, tie their hands, tie their feet, put them between two horses and have them go the opposite direction. That's some pretty intense stuff. This is the people Jonah's going, I don't want to go preach to them, God. For starters, there's some fear, what if they decide to put me between two horses? I'm not coming in to preach something nice to them. I'm telling them they're about to be destroyed. What if they don't like what I have to say? They're just going to tear me apart. But chapter 4 kind of tells us why Jonah didn't want to go. He knew that God was a merciful God. He didn't want Nineveh to repent and God forgive him. He says that in chapter 4. Verse 2, he says, And I prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. That's really why I didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want the people to get right and God forgive them. He wanted them to be destroyed because he had seen and heard of the things that they had done. But Nineveh got right. The whole country got right. And when God repents, repentance isn't always just of sin. You were going one direction and you change. You do a 180 and you go the opposite direction. And God said, all right, I was going to destroy you, but you know what? I'm not going to destroy you now. I'm not going to destroy you because you got right. Jonah didn't want to give the people in Nineveh a second chance. Look there again in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. People got right with God, and you're mad at that? You're a prophet. Isn't that what you're supposed to? Don't you want to see that? Jeremiah never saw that. Probably would have loved to have seen people get right with God, but he never saw people get right with God. Jonah didn't and gets mad. Verse 2, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. He's so mad at God that God spared this whole city, which is huge. All right? Verse 11, it tells us, And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons? Six score. A score is 20. That's 120,000 people that cannot discern between their right hand and their left. They don't know the difference between their right hand and their left. That's young children. 120,000 children. God's saying, look, there's that many just children. And much cattle. He's saying, why shouldn't I have mercy on them? Jonah didn't want to be a second chance man of God. I hope that can't be said of us. We need to be second chance people. That's what we're going to talk about today, being second chance people. Look, how does God handle the world in giving them a second chance? Well, he gives them time to repent and get right. Think about it. You ever wonder why, you know, look, even in our own country, there's some wicked people. At times you think, man, why didn't God do something about them? Because he's given them a chance to repent. He's given them a chance to repent. There's a joke I heard, I don't remember how long ago, you know, there's a Marine in a classroom and a teacher gets up and he says, if God is real, he'll strike me down right now. Well, the young man gets up, walks up to the teacher, punches him in the face. Teacher falls over, just knocked out, and the man goes, sits down. And everyone's looking in the classroom like, oh, what just happened? Teacher gets up, what did you do that for? Young man said, well, God was too busy, so he sent me. And I've always thought, you know, oh, that's funny. And it is. But really, you think about it, how many men have done that and nothing has ever happened? A lot of them. You know what it is? Our God is gracious and merciful to them. He says, I'm not going to send them judgment. God doesn't need to strike a man down to prove that he's real. He doesn't owe men anything. And instead, God says, I'm not going to strike you down. I'm going to give you some time to repent and recant that statement. That's how he handles the world. He gives them time. He's long-suffering. They have plenty of time to try to come back to him. You know what? He will forgive them if they repent. Every single person, if they would just repent, come to him and repent, he will forgive them. Doesn't matter what they've done. Look, if Adolf Hitler, halfway through World War II, realized, I'm wicked, I need to stop, and he got on his knees and asked Jesus Christ to be his Savior, put his trust in him, asking for eternal life, God would have given it to him. He would have forgiven him. But he didn't. You think about it, World War II lasted for a while. When Hitler started his reign of terror, it lasted several years, and I think God was just giving him a chance. I'll give you a chance to get right. I'll give you a chance to get right. Some men don't choose it, but they're given that opportunity. He doesn't bring immediate destruction to them. Keep your hand there in Jonah. Go over to Nahum. It's just two books away from Jonah. Go to the right. You got Micah, Nahum. Nahum chapter 3, look in verse 7. It says, and it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? Nineveh didn't stay right. Nineveh went back to its ways and God destroyed it. That's how God handles the wicked. That's how he handles the world. He gives them a chance. He gives them time to repent. They do something. God says, all right, I'm going to give you opportunity. And if they won't take it, destruction will come. You say, Nineveh what? The only reason we know of Nineveh is because of this right here. Otherwise, we'd all go, huh? Nineveh? Yeah, doesn't exist because God destroyed her. He destroyed her. Hey, he gives every lost person a chance to get right. Thank God. He gives them time. Sometimes he gives them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Everyone is different. He treats all of us differently. Look, I heard the gospel many, many times before I finally got right and got saved. It took a little while to just click. I think a lot of you the same way. Some I've heard some, man, the first time they heard it, whoa, I need that. And they got it. Hey, everybody's different. But thankfully, God is a second chance God, gives us time to get there. How does he handle his own children? How does he handle his own children? Well, he gives them time to repent and get right. Look at Jonah. He told Jonah, go do this. I mean, it was pretty clear. God came to him and said, go do this. And Jonah very obviously said, no. And went the other direction. He didn't even, you know, you think about it, he could have stayed there in his home. He didn't even stay there in his home. He was so blatant about it. He says, I'm going the complete opposite direction, God. You are not going to get me there. God says, oh, I got a special mode of transportation for you, Jonah. You're going to do something nobody else has done before. Yeah. He gave him a second chance. You know what? As we as Christians, as we go through life and God wants us to do something, we say no, guess what? He's going to cause problems and storms to come our way. He sent storms to Jonah. He sent a fish to Jonah. He said, all right, here you go. Here's some problems. You going to do what I want you to do? God does what's necessary for us to get right, come back to him. It's interesting, though, when we get right, his will for us doesn't change. What did he tell Jonah? He told him the same thing. Go to Nineveh and preach. It's almost word for word, except for that last half. He's like, I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is I want you to preach. I already told you. Go preach it. But just because you get right and God gives you a second chance doesn't mean God's going to change his mind on what he wants you to do. I've seen in my life, I've seen with friends and different things where God has talked to somebody and said, I want you to do whatever. Sometimes it's, I want you to give something up for me. And they go, I'm not going to give that up. I'll do anything but that, God. And I watch as their spiritual growth stops. And I notice God doesn't work in them until they go, okay, God, I'll do what you want me to do. And then God goes, oh, okay. I just wanted to see if you'd give it up. I know my dad, I've heard this once or twice, but at some point in time, God was dealing my dad's heart to be a missionary. And I think it was to be a missionary to Russia or something. I mean, this is years ago. And it was just bothering my dad. Finally, he went forward and said, okay, God, I'll be a missionary to Russia. And God went, oh, okay. He never called him to Russia. But he wanted to know, are you going to be willing to go? Because if this is what I want you to do, will you do it? Now, that doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes God, when God speaks to you and wants you to do something, he really does want you to do something. But sometimes God just wants to know, are you going to be submissive to me and do what I ask you to do, child? Or are you just going to do your own thing? Because my dad had already surrendered to be in the ministry. He was an assistant pastor. He was serving God. Lord, I'm doing what you want me to. No, I want you. What if I want you to go to Russia? Well, I don't want to do that. Well, what if I want you to go to Russia? wouldn't stop bugging him until he finally, okay, I'll go, God. Okay, I just want to see if you'll go. Be willing. That was it. You know what I also like, though? God will forgive us if we repent. As we saw Jonah, he doesn't repent and when he gets tossed in the sea. It's 3 days later when he's still sitting in the fish's belly. He finally gets right with God. That's all of chapter 2. He's finally getting right with God and asking for forgiveness. And okay. You know what's good? God will always give us forgiveness. Always. And then gives us an opportunity to, okay, hey, I'm going to forgive you now. Go do what I asked you to do. Second chance, God. Today, how can we be second chance Christians? We shouldn't be like Jonah. Jonah was not a second chance prophet. He got second chances. But when it came down to it, when Nineveh repented, and they went through great lengths to repent. Okay, it wasn't just, well, let's pray to this God and ask him to forgive us. No, it's everybody's going to stop working. You're going to stop doing what you're doing. We're going to put on sackcloth and ashes. And this is the king as well. The king took off his royal apparel, put sackcloth and ashes. No one's going to eat or drink for 3 days. Look, I fasted where I didn't eat for 3 days, but I've not gone 3 days without drinking. I've not even gone 1 day without drinking. That is some, I mean, they're serious here. And so we're going to ask, and maybe, and they don't even know this, and maybe he'll forgive us. Verse 9 of chapter 3 says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? They don't even know if this is going to happen. They're just saying, hey, let's see if it'll work. We're going to try. I think the king thought, hey, we're fried if we do or we don't. Let's try it. In verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil they had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And Jonah got mad. Mad because someone got right with God. Hey, we need to be second chance Christians. How can we be a second chance Christian? Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 8. It says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Look, I read those first couple verses because look at those things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another. You know what? That's the old man. The old man doesn't give second chances. The old man doesn't want to give second chances, and we've got to put off the old man because the old man prevents us from being second chance Christians. Like the old man likes to rise his ugly head up once in a while to try to prevent us from living the Christian life like we should. Go out in the lost world. Do they give very many second chances? Nope. A lot of those guys, they'll cut you off as soon as they get a chance. You haven't even finished, and it's, cut them off, man. That shouldn't be said of us. But we're to put on these other things. Mercy. Mercy is giving goodness to others even when they don't deserve it. That's how God is to us. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Keep your finger there in Colossians. Romans 2, 4 says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? God's mercy led you to get saved. And as a Christian, God's mercy leads you to get right with him. Yeah, his storms, that fish, the trouble. You see that and it, okay, I got to get right with God. But even through all that, God still takes care of you. He took care of Jonah. Jonah didn't die. Jonah was asleep at the bottom of the ship during a storm. God took care of him. He even took care of him in the fish. Brought him back to land where he could get to where he needed to be. God's mercy leads us to repentance. Well, shouldn't we show mercy to others? Think, but they don't deserve it. Yeah, neither did you. You didn't deserve, I didn't deserve God's mercy when he showed it upon me. What do I have to offer to God? Nothing. So you know what? The signs of showing mercy is giving it to somebody who really doesn't deserve it. What kind of effect do we have on others if we treated them as God treated us? Think about that. At your workplace, showing mercy to others. Man, that guy's always nice to me. Don't you want it to be said there's something different about him? There's something different about her? Everybody at the job, you know, yeah, they know you go to church, but there's something different about them. They live differently. Look, I've worked with some people that were Christians that they didn't act like it. People questioned it. You know, well, if they're Christians, wouldn't they? Yeah, you really wish they weren't working with you? Because you're trying to have a good testimony? But hopefully your testimony is one of, there's something different about that person. They show me some kind, they show me mercy even though I don't deserve it. Well, that's mercy. That's really what it is giving, showing goodness to someone even when they don't deserve it. What else? Kindness. The quality of being friendly and generous and considerate. So many unkind people in this world. Our country is becoming a very unkind place. Just go online. Just go on social media. You see all kinds of unkindness. A lot of hatred. That shouldn't be said of Christians. We should be kind people. Like, think about it. Would you want to listen to you if you're not kind about the gospel? If we show kindness to other people, won't they be a little bit warm to hearing us when we say, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus, how he can save your soul? Well, if you're not kind and haven't been kind, would you want to listen to you? Nope. We need to be second chance Christians, show kindness to people. Even if they don't deserve it. Even if they don't deserve it. What else? Well, humbleness of mind. Humbleness, not thinking better of ourselves than we ought to think. Getting rid of our pride. Look, a proud man is not going to give second chances. He's just not. I've worked with proud men. They don't give out second chances. They just cut you off right there. And you're worthless, you know, you'll never learn anything, walk away. Well, then a humble man will. Well, we need to be humble people. And then in this day of age, it's hard to, you know, hey, if you're humble, you'll stick out. Because everything's pride. Power of pride. Yeah, power of pride brings you to destruction. Brings you down. We need to be humble people. Meekness. Ooh, meekness. Moses is known as being the meekest man in all the earth. Think about it. What did Moses do? He led that children of Israel in the wilderness. Moses would sit down. All right, make a line, folks. And listen to complaint after complaint after complaint after complaint after problem after problem after problem after problem after problem. And try to help solve it. And what did he do the next day? Same thing. And what did he do the next? Same thing. And again, the same thing. Meekness. He learned to be slow to anger. Think about it. There's two times we see Moses' anger flare up. The first one is when he kills an Egyptian. And he had to run for his life. And was gone for 40 years. The second is when he hit the rock the second time twice. When he should have spoken to it. And God said, you're not going to the promised land now. Caused problems when he wasn't meek. But he was a meek man. He put up with the children of Israel a lot. But he was meek towards them. Often meekness is considered to be weakness. It's kind of what it looks like is, well, you're just letting other people run over top of you. Okay. Well, we need to be meek people. When God wanted to destroy the children of Israel, what did Moses do? Lord, would you not do that? And it wasn't just look, God was saying, I'm going to wipe them all out. He says, Moses, I'm going to start fresh with you. Whoa. He would have been, you know, similar to Abraham. Starting with me and my family. But Moses says, no, Lord, don't do that. God, you know, the heathen, it'll look bad on you, Lord. And, you know, if you're going to wipe them out, then blot my name out of your book. He wanted his name taken out of the book of life if he was going to. Woo! He's willing to sacrifice himself for the people. That's meekness. Even though they're their problem, and they were a big problem to Moses. He always was trying to help them. That's all he ever did. He just took it for granted, but he gave them another chance, God. Give the people another chance. Don't destroy them all. Give them a second chance. What else? Long-suffering. To put up with, to suffer long. Whenever I think of long-suffering, I always think of the suffering long. Just put up with. Doesn't God put up with us? We sin time and time and time and time and time again. Sometimes it's the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. And every time God says, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I give you another chance. I give you another chance. Long-suffering. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Ooh. That right there, I feel forgiveness is the true second chance. Look, all these other things, I mean, you've got to have some mercy to give a second chance. You've got to have some kindness to give a second chance. You've got to have a humbleness to give a second chance. You've got to have meekness to give a second chance. You've got to have long-suffering, but forgiveness. And that's when somebody has directly done something against you. Just directly against you. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Hopefully a familiar verse. 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ for God's sake hath forgiven you. Hey, God forgave us of all our sin. Can't we forgive somebody of one offense towards us? Oh, but they've done it so many times. You know, our relationship with God is similar to the unforgiving servant. Go to Matthew 18. Look at the story of the unforgiving servant. Verse 21, Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall I forgive my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter's like, seven times, Lord. He comes to me, I tally it up, and then I don't have to forgive him anymore, right? Ooh, the seven chance Peter here is what we got. Seven chance Peter, and then you're done. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. 490 times. I don't think God meant for us to, I don't think Jesus is saying keep a tally of 490 times. I think just keep forgiving them. And then we get a story. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Like, you can't pay that back. That's just lifetimes worth of money. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave the debt. Talk about a real second chance. It wasn't just, I'll give you another chance to pay me back. No, there was no way this man could ever pay him back. He said, okay, you know what? Your debt's wiped clean. Don't worry about it. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him. He went looking for him. It wasn't just, oh, there he is. Hey, you owe me. No, he went looking for him. But you owed him 100 pence. It's a good amount of money. But it's not lifetime's worth. It could be paid off given time. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Second chance man here, right? Yeah, not quite. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, if you notice, he says the exact same thing that the man had said before. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Same words he had just said moments ago. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servants, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall thy heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. We need to be forgiving people. Look, we have a lifetime of debt and sin that we deserve to go to hell for all eternity. And Jesus said, you can't pay it back, but I'll just forgive it. And he's telling us, look, I want you to take that forgiveness and I want you to give it to the person who just hurt you a bit. Now, sometimes that bit's 100 pence. Say, how much is 100 pence? A third of a year's worth of salary? Talked about it in Sunday school. 300 pence is about a year's salary. Okay. We'll round up a little bit. We'll say $60,000. Okay. So $20,000 he owed him. That's a good amount of money. That's a good injury, right? Someone hurt you. Good injury, but we need to still forgive it. Because it's not a lifetime worth of debt that we've been forgiven. You say, oh, but if I don't, I'm going to go to the tormentors? Yeah, God will give you tormentors. So what are tormentors? Comes in different forms. But you know what? I've heard of this happening. And there's a book out. It's called None of These Diseases. Very good book. Doctor wrote it. You know what? Sometimes God sends bad health your way. He talked to people, and he there's a chapter in there he looks at, and he says, you know what? And this isn't always the case, okay? Sometimes folks have this for whatever reason. It's not always because they have an unforgiving spirit, but sometimes it's because you have an unforgiving spirit. Irritable bowel syndrome, coronary artery disease, high blood pressure. Those are some things that he saw in people that had an unforgiving spirit over something. He tells the story of a young man who had, he had IBS really bad. He had burning in his bowels. It wouldn't go away, and heard a story that his grandfather had been wronged, and that's all that consumed his mind. And he wouldn't forgive the people that wronged his grandfather years ago. And it burned him so much that he was having health problems and was constantly on medication. It wasn't doing anything. And he told the young man, he said, you need to forgive them. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. He didn't get better. Sometimes tormentors, God goes, okay, here's some health problems. It's amazing, this book. It'll help you with your health if you just follow what God tells you to do. It's like, wow, if I have a forgiving spirit, you mean there could be some health things that I can avoid? Yeah, that's what it means. You avoid some bad health. Forgiveness. You know what? I notice forgiveness always starts with us, not the person asking for it. Because I can forgive somebody before they've even come and asked me for it. And that's what we're supposed to do. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? When he died on that cross, had we sinned yet? No. But he forgave every one of our sins. And he says, here's forgiveness. It is yours if you'll just come ask for it. And we should be the same way. We should, hey, I have forgiveness. I'm ready to give it out. But I got to wait for them to come ask for it. You don't go up and give it to them yet. You wait till they come to you. But you're ready to give it to them. Because if you don't forgive them in here, this is what happens. They come up and ask you for forgiveness because, look, I did this when I was a kid, okay? My brother or sister wronged me. Would you forgive me?
Yes, I forgive you.
You say, why did you say that? Like that? Because I knew that's what I had to do? But that's not what I wanted to do. I didn't have an unforgiving spirit. They just got words. That was it. Oh, if you started in here, man, then when they finally come and ask for it, it's easy because I've already forgiven them. I forgave them back then. Forgiveness is really the true test of being a second chance Christian. How forgiving are you? And then lastly, last thing on that list is charity. It's unconditional love. Charity suffers long, is kind. We need to have charity in our life. You say, what is charity? Go to 1 Corinthians 13 and read about it this afternoon. Good example of what charity is. We need to have that in our life. And charity and forgiveness, if we just had those two things, I believe the rest would just follow. We'll have meekness. We'll have long-suffering. We'll have kindness. We'll have mercy. We'll have humbleness. Be a second-chance Christian. Look, if you're here, you're not saved. You don't know for sure. You haven't got your sins forgiven. You don't have that eternal life. You don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. God's given you another chance to get right. Don't let it slip away. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Well, take advantage of it today. Because you don't know if you have tomorrow, and you don't know if you have this afternoon. Christian, are you a second chance Christian? God gave you second chance. He still gives you second chances. Do you show that to other people? Or are you like Jonah and just wish, just burn them up, God. Just burn them up. I hope not. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's stand. Dear Lord, we ask that you'd help us, God, as First Baptist Church, that we would be second chance people. God, help us to be forgiving like you are to us. I believe those are the key, forgiveness and charity. If we could have those two things in our life, the rest would follow. We would be real second chance people. Help us not to be like Jonah, not willing to give people another opportunity. Help us to have a light in us and that people would see it by the fact that we give them another chance. Have your will and way in this invitation this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to page 383. Jesus paid it all as the piano plays. If God's worked in your heart, come forward, talk with him. I'll be standing up front if you need me. But if God's spoken to you, go talk with him. Get some things right with him. As we sing, Jesus paid it all.
I hear the Savior saying, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me.